Early Breakfast on Cape Talk, your number one news and talk station.
It is 11 minutes now to 5. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Joining you on the lines is Phumlani Madjozi. Now, Phumlani Madjozi is a political commentator and the non-executive director at Free Market Foundation and a business analyst, a man that wears many, many caps. Good morning to you, Phumlani. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, good morning. As we wake up to some sad news, but yeah, why not? We're not hosting the 2023 World Cup, but Phumlani, we stay positive. Nonetheless, Yabona Phumlani, I don't want to waste any time today. Let's talk about it. There was an uproar, a hoo-ha that, you know, Cyril Ramaphosa has named his running mates. And on top of that, there was also issues with Gwetamantashe. People say that Chief, especially from Dlamini Zuma's camp, that Chief, you've been nominated now to be a running mate. Will you be free and fair when it comes to the conference? I mean, walk us through these developments, because now also Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma has announced her cabinet, David Mabuza, deputy, not him. Walk us through that. What is happening here?
Well, look, I think before, what happened was that Cyril Ramaphosa, I think he sort of assessed the political environment and thought, okay, what is it that could, sort of give me an upper hand a bit? You know, what is it that could try and project an image that I am for change? You know, I want to bring change in the ANC, which is what he's been speaking about a lot. He says the movement is in trouble. We need to save it. We need to put the new leadership who will bring in change and so on. State capture is real. Corruption is real. The economy is not doing well. So I want to bring the faces, you know. I want to project an image, you know, that, you know, I really want to bring change. And that is why I released that date, you know, which was outside of the sort of the ANC's role. And that is why subsequently he was criticized for that. So, I mean, that is what he was trying to do. He was trying to show to the public that, you know, I want to bring change in the ANC. And these are the names. This would be my deputy, you know, this would be my treasurer general. I mean, the secretary general. This would be my treasurer and so on. So naming his top five, top six. So that is what he was trying to do here. And then we are seeing Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma now sort of, well, we wouldn't say it's here because the list was released by the ANC Women's League, but we don't know whether she was consulted or spoken to around that. We wouldn't be sure of that. But the fact is that list has been released by the ANC Women's League, that is sort of listing the names of the people who will be, whom Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma would lead with if she were to win the ANC's elective conference next month, right? So I think the Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, it was sort of the names being released, it was sort of, following up on Ramaphosa's action as well, sort of saying that, no, these are our names, you know, these are our names, and this is how we want to, you know, to shape the ANC. So my point is that right now what is happening is that the candidates, they are sort of in a situation where there's so much, or they want to ensure that they show to the public as to what they stand for, right? So that is why they're releasing these names, you know, and telling people that, no, this is how they want to change the country. This is how they want to reform the ANC moving forward. And releasing those names sort of gives them that, you know, it projects as to what exactly are their aims about the ANC's movement and how they want to move the future forward.
Hey, if you are joining us in conversation, you'll see I'm quite excited because we're joined by Phumlani Madjozi, political commentator, non-executive director at the Free Market Foundation and a business analyst. We're talking politics this morning, and one of the issues he's just covered now is the whole issue of Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma's camp. Now, you know, when we talk about that in terms of interactions, Usipho is sending an SMS now saying, Abungile, Mugabe and Zuma shared notes on their VPs and assisting their wives to take over. It was alleged that Zuma wanted to fire Cyril based on intelligence reports and make Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma as the vice president. Would that revive UDF and Matt Dikizela's 10-10 against Jacob Zuma? I don't want to focus on that last statement of the SMS, but I mean, really, talking about these two presidents when Phumlani, could it be?
Well, I don't think they collaborated in the sense that in the sense that they shared notes. I doubt that. But you see, the thing is, you know, when you are in a situation like Mr. Zuma's and Mr. Mugabe's, when you are in a hot seat of power, right, that over the years, well, for Mr. Mugabe, it's been almost 4 decades now, right? And for Mr. Zuma, it's just been, well, sort of seven, eight years or so on. So, but I think the seats they are on, they have been sort of, there's been so much abuse that has taken place in on their watch, whether it's in their administrations or cycles and so on. As a result, now they're in a situation where they are a bit desperate, right? And as a result, because of how they've managed themselves throughout their leadership, they've reached a point where they don't even trust, you know, many people in their cycle. In Jacob Zuma's case, it's, you know, there are people in the ANC he doesn't trust, right? He doesn't trust Cyril Ramaphosa, right? That's why he doesn't hand over. He wouldn't like to see Cyril Ramaphosa being the next president of the ANC, of which that's been mainly the tradition in the ANC, that the deputy president takes over, right? But now he's uncomfortable with that. So you'd rather give power to someone he can trust. And therefore, having Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma's ex-wife, obviously that person, you know, he can trust him. She's from the same tribe in KZN. She's Zulu as well. There's so much that they've had for a long time together, you know, even though they're no longer together, but they share so much. So he trusts her. In Zimbabwe, it's sort of the same thing as well. There's been a point where Mugabe now sort of obviously within his ZANU-PF, his ruling party cycle, even within his government as well, there are people now he doesn't trust, right? Including Emmerson Mnangagwa, that the vice president he axed or fired last week. So, I mean, as a result now, these two, they are sort of in a desperate position as to how do they shape as their power weakens. What Jacob Zuma is about to leave next month, and then Mr. Mugabe as well, his days are, you know, are sort of over in the ZANU-PF, and his power is at its sunset days now. So now they are desperate to reshape the political environment to favor them, and so that whoever comes in is someone who can protect, you know, their interests and legacy and so on, and, you know, they keep them protected. So that's, they are both in a desperate situation. I wouldn't say they collaborated, not, but they were both in a desperate or in a desperate situation where they wanted to sort of, as they lose their power, to ensure that or to shape the race or to shape the new, you know, leadership into their favor.
I want us also to cover, you know, in this report, the fact that President Jacob Zuma, while we're on the same light, was on Channel AWN7, where he was discussing the issue of state capture and asking whether it was even real. To me, it sounded like a president who was, it's either he was being defiant and absolutely refusing to understand what is happening in the country, or someone who is just acting dumb.
No, I don't think he acted dumb. I think there's been many misperceptions, or I don't know if I'm using the right word, of people thinking that the president could be dumb. And so this is a smart guy, man. You know, he knows how to do political calculations. Zuma is very good in politics, no doubt about that. You shouldn't underestimate him or take him for granted, right? So I think in this case, he's just creating a narrative to downplay what is happening with the state capture and to just dismiss it, you know, for some weird political reasons. Because I think if it does something like this, the issue in many instances right now is in and out of court in some forms, right? As a result, there will be a point where the court will decide something that will not be in his favor, and then it's going to do like he did come back, like he did what he did last year. I think it was early last year, where he came back and apologized, you know, for the whole thing that was going on, you know, and said he had misunderstood it or something happened around there. So I don't know why is it doing that. I don't know why is it both. All he should have said is that those allegations, we hear them, they're there, and let's allow the investigations. And he doesn't have to say much because he's a president and a political, he doesn't want to preempt people who are sort of, you know, working on these things as in various institutions in our country. So parties should have said, recognize that, hey, there are serious problems, or we've heard of this problem, and therefore we should allow the whole, our system to address that. You know, instead of just dismissing it and calling it, you know, their families being branded for some devilish reasons or whatever. I think the whole, and I was looking at some points around foreign forces that they are trying to intervene in South Africa and destroy its power, blaming global forces and so on. You know, all political, usual political talk. This really has no, it's getting not to substantiate it. You know, that doesn't make sense. The whole thing was just very funny to see and watch. I mean, it's very sad that we are in that situation here with President Jacob Zuma.
Pumlani, always a pleasure chatting with you. We continue once again as we run up to the December conference. A very good morning to you, sir. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much.